Words for Life today is by Reverend David Sterry of Beaumaris Mordialloc Baptist Church. His talk title is Sharing in the Life of the Church. The Bible reference is Ephesians chapter 3.
Whoever you are, whatever your situation, day-to-day life probably brings with it much that demands your attention. Juggling family and work life, grappling with health or financial or family concerns, wrestling with life's transitions that can bring a sense of isolation or unsettlement, seeking to be proactive in things that might keep you physically or mentally or emotionally or spiritually or relationally healthy. It's true for me, and it's true for each of us in various ways. But as significant as these and any other focuses that are a part of our day-to-day lives are, as God's people, we actually are part of a bigger picture. We actually get to share in something that goes above and beyond the routines and the rhythms of day-to-day life, beyond the here and now of day-to-day living. We get to be a part of and we get to share in the life of God's church. Many years ago, in the formative years of Apple, that's the tech giant, not the fruit, their young founder, the late Steve Jobs, went to New York to try to convince John Sculley, who was working for Pepsi at the time, to try to convince him to come and play a key part in Apple changing the world technologically. Sculley was pretty focused on all that he was doing as a part of his life at that point, and he was pretty focused on the immediate and the here and now and the routines of that and what he was doing. But it wasn't until he understood that he could share in part of a bigger picture that his perspective changed. As the question was asked by the late Steve Jobs, "Do you want to spend the rest of your life focused on selling sugared water? Or do you want to spend the rest of your life focused on changing the world technologically?" That question made him stop and think, and it changed his perspective. Paul reminds us, not just in the verses that were read to us this morning, but right through the book of Ephesians, actually. Paul reminds us right through the book of Ephesians, but especially in these verses, that the very existence of the church has a much higher purpose than we might realize. You and I are a part of that church. And yes, the church is made up of imperfect people like you and I. But the church is what God has founded for the purpose of changing the world spiritually. The church is the hope of the world. And despite all that we might think it is not because of human imperfections, ultimately it is God's church, who God can and does use to fulfill his purposes through ordinary people like you and me. And the church is something special in God's eyes. It's referred to through Ephesians and in other parts of the Bible, both as the body of Christ and indeed the bride of Christ. And so there is no greater honour for any of us than to be a part of God's church, and to share in the life of God's church, to be a part of something that is bigger and broader and better than ourselves, that is not just focused on ourselves and our day-to-day life and life in the here and now, but is focused on the eternal purposes of God. So today, as we continue to look at what is at the heart of our covenant relationship with God and his people, we look at what it means to, just a little of what it means to share what we share in the life of the church. Last week we looked at what it means to protect the unity of the church. But what do we share in with others as God's church that we need to make sure that we don't lose sight of, that is a part of God's bigger picture for our lives? We share in many privileges as the people of God. And Paul certainly touches on that in verse 6 in the reading that was read to us, when it says, "Share us together in the promise in Christ Jesus." That's a great privilege. There are many promises that we share together in. But sharing in the life of the church isn't just about sharing in the privileges. It's about sharing in the responsibilities too. And when I think of my family life, there's privileges that come with part of being a family, but there's responsibilities as well. It's not just a free ride for anybody and everybody. We have a part to play in functioning together. And so it is in God's church. So what do I want to highlight briefly this morning that Paul draws our attention to here in Ephesians 3 that we share in, which is both a privilege and a responsibility. Firstly, we share in the mystery of God's grace. In these early verses in Ephesians 3, Paul is describing how we share in the mystery of God's grace as his people. He uses the word mystery a number of times. He says, "Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into what? The mystery of Christ. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets." And he goes on again to use the word mystery. You know, in the midst of the constancy and the continuity of day-to-day life, with all of its demands and the things that might cause us to despair that I spoke about as we began, in the midst of that, we get to share together with others in worship and in prayer. Both worship and prayer. And Judy led us in prayer beautifully, as Debbie did for Andy earlier. But both worship and prayer are great mysteries, really, when we stop and think about it. We mustn't just take them for granted. We mustn't just roll in time after time, prance into the presence of God in worship or in prayer. We mustn't come with this is a sense of something that is automatically mine. No. Both prayer and worship and prayer are great mysteries, really, because we are able to come before a holy God as imperfect people. Not only come before him, but he reveals himself to us. He reveals his ways to us. He reveals his will to us. We don't live in relationship with God and his people under the old covenant, where you couldn't draw near to God in worship in the same way that we can now. But we live under the new covenant of grace, where in and through Jesus we can draw near to the very presence of God, both in worship and in prayer, and capture the full sense of his love for us. Neither worship or prayer really are actually about us. They're about focusing on God. They're about focusing all that God is. If we're not careful, we can easily come to worship or we can come to prayer with our focus on ourselves. But our focus should be above all on God. It's about God and all that he is. What an incredible privilege. But also what a responsibility that we've been entrusted with to not take lightly. That it's only by God's grace that we can come to him in that way. Here in verse 2, Paul says, "Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given." Now, the word in the original language, it's a bit clunky in its translation. Administration in the NIV actually doesn't capture it really well, I don't think. In the original language, it conveys much clearer that we've been entrusted with something that should blow us away. It has this sense of we've been stewarded with something. We've been given something that's been entrusted to us. And what's entrusted to us should, wow, God's grace in and through Jesus that we should not lose our sense of awe about. The wonderful mystery of what it means, what it really means to gather together as God's church because of God's grace, to worship, to pray, to focus on and be in the presence of the King of Kings, to hear from him, to experience his presence together, to be renewed for all that is a part of our day-to-day lives, not just today, but right through the week. When I walk our dog, which I don't do as often as I should, it's not every day, he's bounding at me, come on, you know, I mustn't even use the, if I use the word walk, we're going. So got to try and make sure I don't use the walk if I'm not actually going to do it. But when I do walk our dog, I often pass a garden with the most beautiful roses in it. And when I go past that garden, I need to make sure that I don't just rush by. But I pause and I take in the wonder and the beauty of what's there, even if that dog is tugging away at me. And he's a big boy, our dog. As we share together in worship, as we share together in prayer, we need to make sure that we don't just rush in or rush by and miss what God has for us. Even if life's demands and distractions are tugging at us, that nevertheless, we pause and we take in the wonder and the beauty of God and the mystery of his grace time after time. We share in the mystery of God's grace together. But we also share in the message given about God's grace together. Paul says in verse 6, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I'm less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. As someone who's run a marathon, albeit 2 years ago now, I marvelled last week, and I was just talking to a fellow marathon runner, Gary, before the service about this. I marvelled last week. I couldn't believe that someone broke the 2-hour mark for running a marathon. That is unbelievable. They did it in under half the time that I did, apart from anything else. But humanly speaking, how was that possible? This was a barrier that most thought was impossible, that would never be broken down. But as significant a barrier as that was being broken, the message given about God's grace is even more so. That God's grace is not just for some people, but it's for all people. That all are welcome in God's church. And God's people were called to not only embrace that message, but to live it out. To welcome those different to them, to join with them in sharing together in God's grace. And verse 6 speaks specifically of the great barrier that was broken between Jews and Gentiles. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. That was a no-no. God's people, Israel, they really struggled with that. It took them a long time to come to understand that others very different to them were equally able to receive God's grace. This was truly an incredible thing, never thought possible before. But still today, we are called to share in the message given about God's grace. We're called to do that by being welcoming to those new amongst us, by being loving to those marginalised around us, by extending care to all those who are lonely or isolated or hurting or needy. We all have a part to play in what message we send about God's grace to those in need of God's grace. It's not just the role of the welcomers at the door. It's not just the role of the pastoral team. We all need to be looking out for ways in which we can make others feel welcome, in which we can make others feel cared for, in which we can make others feel valued and as much able to receive God's grace as any of us. And Paul understood his God-given role in that. And verse 8 says, although I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of grace. And while your message about grace may not be given by preaching about it as Paul did and as I am, it will be given nevertheless by how you welcome others, by how you look out for others, by how you receive others, by how you value and care for others. And as Paul highlights here, there's a bigger scale to what God is doing through us that goes beyond what we can see, beyond the tangible, verse 10. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to where? On a cosmic scale, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church going about this together doesn't just take place now when we come together on a Sunday. We are the church just as much through the week, Monday to Friday and on Saturday, as we are on Sunday. And each of you are able to be the messengers of God's grace in places that I'm not, and amongst people that you relate to that I don't during the week. It takes the whole church to live out the whole of God's purposes for us. And together as we live out God's grace, God is at work according to his eternal purposes, as Paul says here. Our role is simply to be attentive to what God is doing, where God may be at work around us, and to be active participants in that. What a privilege, yet what a responsibility. We all need to live for something bigger than ourselves. In the midst of the ordinary, the necessary, the immediate focuses that form part of day-to-day life, let's be reminded afresh of the extraordinary grace of God that means that we actually are a part of something bigger than ourselves, God's church. It's true today, it's true tomorrow, it's true next week and beyond. And in the midst of the routines or the rush or the raggedness of life, let us catch sight afresh of both the mystery of God's grace and the message given about God's grace that together we are a part of. I am, you are, we are God's church. Let's pray. God, what an amazing privilege it is to be a part of your bigger picture. You are amazing, God, in who you are. You are amazing in what you are like. You are amazing in what you've made possible for us to share together in your grace. And we pause and we worship you as we've done in song this morning, as we've done in prayer, as we've come to you in prayer, as we've done in other ways. But we seek in that to take in afresh the wonder and the beauty of you, the mystery of your grace. Would you forgive us for the times when we lose sight of this, when we make it more about us than you, when we lose sight of your bigger picture? By your grace, help us to be people who live out the message of your grace. Today, here, but tomorrow, in our workplaces, in our neighbourhoods, and elsewhere. Thank you that even though we don't deserve it, you've included us in your family, in your church, and you call us to include others too, to be inclusive. Help us to live today, this week, and indeed our lives, focused on being a part of something bigger and broader than ourselves and our plans, which is your church and your eternal purposes. That's what you've called us into in covenant relationship that we have with you and with one another. And we're so grateful for it. It's a wonderful privilege. Help us to embrace that afresh and to live that out as part of our responsibilities as your people. And we pray this by your grace, in and through the name of Jesus, and by his Spirit. Amen.